Alrighty, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Vav. Back to Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom. So he says here, we're talking about the Torah, obviously. Al tazveha v'sishmereka, ahaveha ehaveha v'sitzrecha. So do not forsake it, don't leave the Torah, and then the Torah will guard you. And if you love it, the Torah will protect you. Now it sounds a little bit protective, it sounds a little bit repetitive, but obviously it's not entirely. So if you look at the source number two, the Mesudas David explains, Al tazveh, al tazoves haTorah, don't leave the Torah, v'gam hi, and also the Torah will pay you back. Tishmerecha mikol mechshol. She is going to protect you from anything that's going to hurt you or from any obstacle. Right? So they're both, if you don't forsake the Torah will make sure that it won't forsake you. Right? You'll both protect each other. But what you notice there is that it's sor meira. It's the negation of a negative. Right? Don't leave the Torah. We're not talking about what to do with the Torah, but just don't leave it. And then the Torah conversely, or not conversely, in response, will also protect you so nothing bad happens to you. Right? But not necessarily anything good. The second part, however, if you look at the Malbim, that the love you have for the Torah is obviously greater than just not leaving it, right? So when it comes to the second clause, shalif amim lo yazov adam gam davar she'enu ohev oso, there could be situations where a person will stay with something, an item, a situation, they'll stay with it even if they don't love it, because it still produces helpful results. It still gives them benefit. It's still advantageous. Im yasig mimenu toelas. V'lachein hosif she'tehav osa, beyond just staying with something because it produces something for you. In the Torah version, perhaps that would be Torah shelo lishma, right? Maybe you can get a parnasa from it. If you're learning Torah and you're teaching Torah, okay, maybe you don't love it, chas v'shalom, but you can use it for other things. You can get a parnasa from it. You can sell the books. You can do different things. So maybe you're not going to forsake it necessarily, but maybe you're not loving it as much. So we're saying, so that's one stage. And then there's Torah Lishma, where you really love it. Or cherish it. Shetav osavet tidbak nafshecha ba, shezeh mitzad hatov sheba, shugado min ha'erev, min ha'arev v'hamoel. What's guaranteeing, maybe it means here, or helping. That the Torah will give you an extra added protection. It will actively benefit you. It won't just simply guard you from anything bad. This reminded me of something we talked about recently in the Tuesday shiur. Which is in the Tuesday women's class a few weeks ago, and Parshas Toldos. Vayigdelu hanarim. The children grew up. Yaakov and Esav grew up, right? Vayihi Esav, and Esav was ish yodeh tzayit ish sadeh. Oh, I only quoted the first pasuk. Yaakov ishtam yoshev ha'olim. And Yaakov was the one who sat and dwelled in the tents. We talked about then what exactly that means. What's the next pasuk? Anyone remember? Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav kitzai befiv. And Yitzchak loved Esav because he gave him food. V'rivka oheves es Yaakov, and Rivka loved Yaakov because
doesn't say why.
We have this pasuk which says Esav was tzayit yodei tzayit. Okay, Yitzchak loved him because he was a yodei tzayit. Yaakov ish tam yoshev olim. Rivka loved him, just loved him. And if you look at the actual tense, we noted this in the Tuesday class. Vayehav Yitzchak means, and Yitzchak loved in the past tense. But Rivka oheves, that's in the present. Meaning Rivka's love for Yaakov was ongoing, and it wasn't connected to any specific thing that he did. Esav, the love that Yitzchak had for Esav, however, was dependent on something he had done for him in the past. And once that thing was no longer present, it wasn't beneficial for him to love him anymore. So perhaps we can understand a little bit connected to this idea from the Malbim that there are two stages of connections with people or with things. One is the connection of I'm getting something out of it. You don't love it in the moment, but at some point in time, you get benefit from it. It's advantageous to be around Esav. Kitzai befiv, he gives me food. But Rivka oheves es Yaakov. That's what it says here. Ehav ehav es sitracha, it'll give you benefit beyond just practicalities and tangible results. Okay, the next pasuk tells us, Reish yis chachma kenei chachma. What is the beginning of chachma? The beginning of wisdom, you have to actually acquire wisdom. Uvechol kinyanecha kenei vina. And with all of your acquisitions, you can acquire bina. What's the difference between chachma and bina? We've gone through this different times. Chachma is just sort of the hardwire memory, the hardwire information, the knowledge. But to take that and to churn it, to actually understand and comprehend between different things and putting things together, so that's called understanding. That's bina. So how exactly do you come to bina? Well, first you have to get the knowledge, right? Reish is chachma, kenei chachma. You got to work at it. Some of the explanations say you got to hire yourself a teacher. That's the word kenei. Interesting that this is not what we say in Pirkei Avos. Right? What we say in Pirkei Avos? Asei lecharav, kenei lechachaver. Right? We said last week from Rav Hirsch. You remember this is from Rav Hirsch's father. Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch's father tells us that told Rav Hirsch, kenei lechachaver. The pen will be your friend. Write letters to people and get their response. That will be your way of connecting to people.
Pen pal.
Okay. A pen pal. A rabbinic pen pal. Nowadays we have WhatsApp for that. but the pasuk here is saying kenei chachma. You got to work at it. You have to invest. You have to actually go through the sources and just gain as much wisdom as you can, as much knowledge as you can. That's chachma. Once you have all of that knowledge, you can work with it. You can work with it. You can compare and contrast. You can be your own tosfos. Right, you can look at a Gemara at the beginning of Brachos and say, hey, wait a second, that doesn't fit with a Gemara in Shabbos. That doesn't fit with a Gemara over there. But you can only do that once you know both Gemaras. Right? So first is you have to know the Gemaras. First you have to know the actual knowledge. And then you can actually start comparing them. And through comparing them, get to a greater, deeper understanding of Bina. And that's what you have in source number 6. Amrav Kahana. Kad Havina Bar Tamni Sari. When I was 18, Shanin V'haya Gemirna La L'Kulei HaTalmud. Now this is a funny phrase. I love when this happens. What does he say? Rav Kahana says. Now this is in what source? This is a Gemara. Yeah. In Shabbos, Daf Samach Gimel. What does he say? When I was 18, I finished all of the Talmud. What's the Talmud? The Talmud is the Gemara. So it's a quote in the Gemara, which is saying, I finished all the Gemara. How's that possible? Because the Gemara that we had, it was oral. He had all of the Mesorah of the Gemara, meaning all of the different backs and forth of the conversations of his Rebbe and his Rebbe's Rebbe and his Rebbe's Rebbe's Rebbe, all the way back through Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. He had all of those conversations. When he says Talmud, what he means is he has the Mesorah from all these rabbis. He didn't have a Talmud like we have a Talmud Bavli. He just knew all this Mesorah. He didn't have Rashi and Tosfos either. I don't know how he did it. But
do we know his chronology?
He's later on. He's not the latest, I don't think, but he's later on. He's one of the Amoraim. An Amora that you would find normally in the Talmud, in the Gemara. So he says, I finished all the Talmud, v'lo havi adana, and I still didn't know, de'ein mikra yotze mide pshuto, that even with all the drushas and all of the different interpretations of the pasuk, I didn't know, says Rav Kahana, that you have to always maintain the literal understanding of the pasuk. You can never go so far afield with the understanding of the pasuk that it reinterprets it to make even the literal words not make sense. Right? The famous example of this is the Minchas Chinuch by Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. Right? What's the pasuk Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol? In front of a blind person, don't put a stumbling block. What does that really mean? How do we understand that pasuk? Don't give people bad advice. Don't lead them down a path that's going to hurt them. So, what if I put a stumbling block in front of a blind person?
Capable of being misinterpreted. It could be that some people won't trip over it, but some people will. And even that, you shouldn't.
Okay, that could be. It could be. No, that's not it. That's not the same intent. But let's say, the Minchas Chinuch, Rav Yosef Babad, He says, let's say I literally put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Am I over the iser of lifnei iver lo siti mikshol?
Totally.
Why? I didn't give bad advice.
That's the interpretation.
Exactly. So that's what the Mechasim says. According to some Gemaras, it sounds like that wouldn't even be a violation of the very words that the Pasuk says. Says Mechasim, it can't be. That's an additional level of interpretation. Really, the mitzvah d'oraisa is to not put a literal stumbling block in front of a blind person. So this is what Rav Kahana says. He didn't know that. He thought you could just interpret the pasuk and then use that interpretation to explain any halacha that you need. You don't need to keep it to the literal understanding. Says Rav Kahana, 18 years I learned the Gemara, I didn't figure that out. Ad hashta, until right now. I don't know if he was 18 years old. My kamash malan, what's he coming to teach us? The ligmar inish v'hadar lispar. You might go through all of Shas. Ligmar inish, you might have learned all of the Gemara. But then once you have the Gemara, you have to understand it. Then you have to think about it. Hadar lispar, if you look in the English here, he comes to teach that a person should first learn and then understand the rationale. Meaning, good, by the time you're 18, you went through all of Shas. Now understand it. Now try to figure it out. Now look at Tosfos, right? Now you have to try to get a little deeper than just your surface level. The Mesudas David has an interesting statement, that the knowledge should be kanoilach, right? It doesn't just say, reishis chachma, kachas achachma. It doesn't say just take it. It says kineas achachma. What does it mean to be kone something, to acquire it? You have to own it. What does it mean to own chachma? Says the Mesudas David, wrote to Lomar, Me'ez tatchil ilmod l'mod osa derech keva shetehe shakuabach. Learn it in a way that's going to make it permanent, that it's shakua. How do you translate the word shakua? It's embedded, it's entrenched, it's part of you. Right? So when a pasuk says, Rachel, kinei chachma, acquire it, make sure you own it. You have mastery over that piece of Gemara, you have mastery over that piece of Torah, you have mastery over that piece of knowledge. Once you have mastery over it, then you can really start to compare. If you only have surface knowledge, and your memory is like my memory, like, yeah, I remember a Gemara like that, and Yevamos, it sounds similar, familiar, whatever, so then you can't really understand anything, because you don't really know what the Gemara said. But it's only once you truly own that piece of Torah, that piece of knowledge, you can then work with it. Right? You have to literally have it. It has to be shakua. Once they're really embedded within you and you truly understand, or you truly have that knowledge, so then you can work with it. Then you have the physical matter that you can then reform and understand the intricacies of it. So this is source number 8 is really a source that I found through the last author of it, A. McDaniel. When I was a assistant rabbi in Riverdale, So the senior rabbi gave all of us a book. He had this, he got on this, he was a little on a path, and he said, everybody's got to read this book. It happens to be a very interesting book in terms of memory. And the book was called Not Made to Stick, But Making It Stick. I oftentimes get them confused. But what it talks about is the importance of not only reading things and rereading things, but the tests of recalling things is what really creates memory. If you read something, if we went through this paper and read it over and over and over again, you wouldn't really know it in a year from now. But if we read it, and then I told you, tell me everything that's said on that paper, and then you use in your brain, you create building blocks to recall it within your own psyche, not because you're just reading it again. So then you actually have a much better chance of remembering it because you've built that bridge to recall it, right? Memory is based on recalling, and you have to create, there are literal physical brain waves that create bridges, neurons that create bridges so that you can recall something. It's an easier path backwards to get those things, which is always, when someone reminds me of a memory that like is inconsequential to my life, I always think, oh, why did you remind me of that? I just wasted some neurons creating a bridge to something I don't need to know. But either way. So here it says they did a study. Though rereading is a study method commonly used by students, theoretical disagreement exists regarding whether rereading a text significantly enhances the representation and retention of the text contents. In 4 experiments, we evaluated the effectiveness of rereading relative to a single reading in a context paralleling that faced paralleling that faced by students in the classroom. Participants read educational texts, textbook chapters, or a Scientific American article, sounds riveting, under intentional learning instructions. Learning and memory were tested with educationally relevant summative from the summary, assessments, multiple choice, short answer questions, and text summaries. With only several exceptions, rereading did not significantly increase performance on the assessments. We also found that reading comprehension ability did not alter this pattern. It appears that when using ecologically valid material such as a textbook chapter, immediate rereading may have little or no benefit for improving performance on educationally relevant summative assessments. It doesn't matter how many times you read the same thing over and over again. It doesn't matter that Rav Kahana went through all of Shas. And if anyone's ever learned all of Shas, you know it repeats itself over and over and over again in different ways. This rabbi says the same thing as that rabbi. And this rabbi has a statement that's relevant in multiple different contexts, multiple different halachas. It doesn't matter, you go over and over and over and over again if you're not stopping to really recall it and to embed it into your psyche, so then you're not going to then be able to understand it, to get to the depths of it. So that's what they're saying here. To really kone chachma, as the Mesudas David explains Shlomo HaMelech, to be kone chachma means you have to make a shakua. You really have to embed it within yourself, not just reread it over and over again. That's not going to help. I always think about the modern day form of reading. Modern day form of reading. They've done many studies on millennials. I guess that's me. That we have a propensity to scan things and not read them. Meaning, in some ways, it's a good thing that we have the ability to discern what's important, what's not important, and the stuff that's not important, we'll just skip over it. Because we grew up in a time where to get information in front of you was not a novelty. We didn't grow up with newspapers that in order to figure out the news, you have to read the whole thing. We grew up in a time, we're going through a time where if we want to know something, we look at Twitter, and in 70 characters, we figure out everything that's going on. And if it's not something that's going on, so we just skip it. We just push it aside. We don't need the whole newspaper. So that concept, that element of our psyche is very different. The way that we read is different from the way other people. I mean, because I'm Jewish and I learn Gemara, hopefully I'm not the same way. But it's a very surface level knowledge, to the extent that if you came back to me in 6 months, I probably wouldn't have such a great comprehension of what happened in the news today. But if I went to someone from an older generation who, when they read the news, they really read the news, so they'll have a better comprehension. It's more shakua. It's more embedded within them because that's how they read. So just interesting studies that go along with this. But the Ralbag talks about that in a similar way. In source number 9, Bereshis Chachma Shetikma Mehatorah Tikna Chachma V'zeh Egeil Chamimena Bezulas Amel. Right? When it comes to just reading, just acquiring knowledge, it might come with very little effort. Ach B'kinyan Habina. But when you want to actually comprehend something, Titztarach Lehezer B'Bechol Kinyan Echa Shetikna Mimena V'Kulam Yiyashi Rucha El Hamid Hala V'inei Amar Zeh K'kinyan Chachma V'gimi Dvar Ma'atzmiim La v'heim reishis chachma v'lo chein inyan habina k'moshe zacharnu. Kinyan chachma is just about reading things on the surface level, but if you really want to comprehend it, that's going to take a lot of work. That you're going to have to try to actually understand things. So that's what we've been talking about before. Okay, moving along to a very confusing pasuk here. Sal saleha usro memeka. If you, it says here, hug her, so then it will exalt you. It will raise you up. Kitichabedcha ki sichab kena. What does sichab kena mean?
Lechabek is to hug.
Lechabek is to hug. So what's the difference between the first part and the second part? The first one says sal saleha. The next one says tichab kena. So Rashi tells us sal saleha is not really a hug. It's really to search out. Chipsa hayachozer alel the daktik ba kmo kibotzer al sol solos. That maybe your mesalsel b'saro, that's like Yosef, right? He was combing through his hair. Right? People remember that Rashi? Isn't that the word that Rashi uses over there? No? I think it's mesalsel b'saro. Is it?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Either way, that's what Rashi is saying here, that you're combing through your hair. So says Rashi, if you're willing to cherish it and search it out, to look for it, you're passionate about finding it, so then it will exalt you. And if you embrace it, you hug it, you hold it close to you, so then it will give you honor. It's interesting that the grammar doesn't exactly work in the same way, but it's one of those times where we don't really understand the benefit that Shlomo Melech is specifically talking about. But if you look at the Malbim in source number 12, so the Malbim says, Sal Salah Lashon Romimus, Kamo Sulu Sulu Hamasila Shehu Imeinian Harama. So we have the Sroma Mecha, which is to exalt you. It lifts you up. Somehow it puts you on a pedestal of some kind. And then you have the Kavod, which is Yoser Min Haromimus. Honor is greater than exaltedness. Shu Kavod Hanefesh Haruchnius. Kavod is an honor, an internal honor. Romimus might be on the external. Romimus is in terms of, Romimus like high, your height, your how elevated you are. So that's on the outside. But kavod, honor, is nothing you see on the outside necessarily. It's something that's internal. Ulamal menu levi aschein, and then we've seen this before. The next pasuk, also in source number 10, titein l'roshcha levi aschein, which we've talked about on in Perek Aleph, pasuk tes, which is in source number 13. Ateres tiferes timagneka, that when you have the Torah, it will be for you a graceful wreath upon your head, a necklace around your throat, is what we said back in Mishnah, back in Mishlei, Perek Aleph. Here we're repeating the same thing. It's going through all the benefits of the Torah. If you remember back then, I think we said Levi Aschein Hein L'Roshecha, that it is a grace for your head, meaning your head itself will become more capable of understanding things, right? That you will walk around with this wreath, meaning you'll have the ability to think about things on a greater level. When you actually acquire the Torah and you get all of these different skills, mental skills and capacities, you'll be able to apply that wherever you go. Levias chen hein l'roshecha, you can take it with you. It's in your head wherever, whenever you want. The next pasuk says, very interestingly, Shema b'ni v'kach amarai. Listen, my son, which we've seen a bunch of different times. V'kach amarai. Take my amira. What is the connotation of the word amira in contrast to what other word?
Diver.
Diver is to speak. Amar is to say. What's the difference between a speech and a saying? In halachic terms, a diber usually connotes some kind of instruction. It's a harsher tone. You have to do this. But an amar is just, I'm just saying something. Right? I'm just saying. Vayomer Hashem Amoshe Lemor. Lemor means to then say it over. Vayidaber Hashem Amoshe Lemor means, here's a mitzvah coming at you. Here's a mitzvah. Here's a tzivoy. Here's a chiyuv. You have to go tell this to the Jewish people. But vayomer is just, I'm saying something. I'll relay this message. So here it doesn't say, Shema b'ni v'kach divarai. It doesn't say, take my dibor, take my instruction. It says, kach amarai. V'yir b'luchash noschaim, and through that taking of amarai, you will have greater years of life. The Rabbag picks up on this and says, Shema b'ni v'kach amarai, v'heim sipurei ha-Torah. What does sipurei ha-Torah mean?
The stories.
He's picking up on the word amarai. It doesn't say divarai, which would be sivoy ha-Torah, sivuyei ha-Torah, sipurei ha-Torah. Take the stories of the Torah. Why would Shlomo HaMelech say, take the stories of the Torah? And once you take the stories of the Torah, how is that going to make your life better? If you look at the next part in the Rabbag, the stories specifically will give you greater character traits beyond the tzivuyim, beyond me perhaps, beyond just the instruction, right? It's one thing to say to a person, be a good person. Give tzedakah. But if you see it, when you relate to it through a story, through a character, through a situation which maybe is familiar to you, so then it affects you a lot greater.
That's why it's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Yeah, exactly. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that we have on, it's not just Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to have a greater effect on us. Kiilu Ata Yotzei Mitzrayim is supposed to be like we're remembering, that we're feeling that we're going through Mitzrayim, going out of Mitzrayim. And that's why Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is different from Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ushlemos hamuskalos kemosha biarnu sham oyidav rabbezashlomo v'tzilu kach samarav shi'itav alem. Something else. There's another book that I said to not be confused with the book we quoted earlier called Made to Stick, which I've quoted before, from Chip and Dan Heath, some of my favorite authors. And they have the book Made to Stick is all about making things memorable. Speaking of memory. And in one of their chapters, they have a whole acronym called SUCCESS. I don't remember all of them. It's like succinct, and I forgot what the U is. C is concrete. There's another C. I don't know. One of the S's at the end, the S stands for story. Well, something very memorable is to create a story. If you look at source number 16, when things are told in a story, they seem to stick better. Stories give us details. They are entertainment, not instruction. The story of Jared was a perfect example. 425-pound man who decides to go on a Subway diet and loses hundreds of pounds. Who is ever going to forget Jared's story? Well, now no one's going to forget Jared's story for other reasons.
Right.
But unfortunately, his story is the classic challenge plot. A protagonist overcomes a formidable challenge and succeeds. Besides the challenge plot, there's also the connection plot and the creativity plot. The connection plot has a classic example of a good Samaritan in the corner. Connection plots are about those connections or relationships, right? We can relate to that story because we connect to that story through the different characters. The creativity plot has the MacGyver plot. I don't know what that means. Maybe some people here do. It involves someone making a mental breakthrough, solving a long-standing puzzle, or attacking a problem in an innovative way. The last two paragraphs of the chapter really sum it up. Stories can almost single-handedly defeat the curse of knowledge. Anyone remember the curse of knowledge? We talked about it here before. The curse of knowledge is trying to give over information to somebody else who doesn't know it. But because you already know it, you can't really figure out how to give it over to them sometimes. Right? So for instance, I've said this before. What song am I playing? It's happy birthday, right? Because I've said this over before. The study they did at Hart, I think it was at Stanford. They did the study and they said, how many people think that your partner is going to get it? 50% of people thought that their other person was going to get it. 50% ended up being 4%. Because when I play this on the table, I obviously know it. Because I'm the one giving it over. And because it's so clear to me what I'm playing, I think the other person definitely knows what I'm playing. But the truth is, it's not. That's the curse of knowledge. When we know something, it's hard to give it over in a way that the other person gets the same idea. It's a good thing to keep in mind whenever you're teaching, whenever you're giving a drasha, whenever you're doing anything, trying to give over an idea. It works also, by the way, for character traits. Right, Rav Dessler talks about the inability of someone who doesn't struggle with anger to teach somebody else how to control their anger. How can you do that? Like, you control your anger naturally. You can't possibly teach it to someone else who has a completely different makeup than you. So it works also in that way. But that's the curse of knowledge. But stories can defeat the curse of knowledge. In fact, they naturally embody most of the successes framework. That's the acronym I was talking about. Stories are almost always concrete. That's one of the C's. Most of them have emotional and unexpected. Unexpected was the U. Unexpected. Because emotional is the E. The U is unexpected. Right? If something hits you and you didn't expect it, so it always stands out. Because it's new and it's different. Right? Emotional, obviously, we've talked about that before also. That when you connect your emotion to something, so then it allows you to really, it becomes part of you. It's not just in your head, but it's part of how you feel. The hardest part of using stories effectively is making sure that they're simple, that they reflect your core message. Stories have the amazing dual power to simulate and inspire. So that's perhaps what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, according to the Rabbalik for sure, when he says, Shema b'ni v'kach amarai, take my sayings, says the Rabbalik. That's the Sipurei HaTorah. The stories of the Torah that we read about the Avos, that we read about the Jewish people in the Midbar, those stories aren't just filler in between mitzvos. Those stories are there for us to learn, right? Masa avos simul abanim. The stories are there for us to learn from, and because they're stories, they have a greater effect on us. Or a more natural effect on us when we take them seriously. The next pasuk, Mishlei, Dalet, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. So the pasuk says, "V'derachach mahorei sicha hidrachticha b'magle yosher." So the Malbim has an idea that we talked about a few months ago, which I think is always good to remind ourselves of, and it's based on the Rambam. The Malbim says, the path, when the Pasuk says, I tell you about the straight path. This is where to go. Don't deviate from it. V'ham'agel, like the word igul, is a circle. Hu ha'derech ha'sivuvi. That's around. Those are the wandering paths. And a person has to always stay straight on the middle path, which is the straightest permanent path. Every single character trait has extremes to the right and to the left, and our job is to stick to the middle. And that's why the Shlomo Melech says, I've taught you to go on a straight path in the middle, not to veer right or left to either extreme in any of your character traits. Amnam, however, lifamim, sometimes, tzarech lahatos miderech hayashar. There are times in life where you have to veer off the path. In what situation? You have to go on the ma'agal. If you're not able to properly go on the straight path, so sometimes you have to go to the side pass. Kegon im yesh ikuv shederach hayashar har urachasim v'chadoma. Sometimes maybe there's a mountain in your way, maybe there's a stone in your way. You got to go around it. So what's the parallel? Kemo misha nota betivo el hakilus. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this word, but it means they're stingy. Efshar sheilach mederach hayim tzai. Someone who's stingy can't all of a sudden try to walk in the middle path. Which is someone who is giving. Lefazer means to give everything away. In order to fix your stinginess, you got to go to the other extreme. You go to the side path where you basically give away too much money. You're being too much of a giving, too much of a charitable person. What happens then? Shehu ha-ma'agal. That's the sideways path. That's the circular path. She'al yado yisraga lavo el haderech hayashar. By going to the other extreme, from this extreme, you go all the way over here, you'll find your way back to the middle. Because you'll regulate yourself to say, I'm willing to go all the way this way, now I can normalize myself, regulate myself to back to the middle. Shubni midas hanedivas, ubezet zarech leida eich yagia alidei ha'magal v'yisavi bo el haderech hayashar. V'yal ze amar, hidrach ticha b'mag le'yosher. Hainu she'yode she'yode Yada or Yeda Yosher Hamaga Balyata El Tzad Ha'acher. You should know the path to the sides, to not go to the other side. Ka'osin Shekhasu Behem and Nilozim Maglosam. We talked about it then in Parak Beis. Ubezeh Ein Dai Behorel Levad. It's not just good enough to teach it. Sheir Lo Aderach, to show them the path. K'ma Shekhasu Bederach Hacham Chahor Ezicha, that I taught it to Hor Ezicha. Kitarach Hadracha Sheyadrich V'yinahel Oso B'yado B'magal V'alyita. You actually, Shlomo Melech, holding your hand to teach you how to do these things. So that's Bederach Chachma Hor Ezicha. I told you, I taught you about the straight path. But Hidrach Ticha B'magal Yosher, for when those times come where you're going off the beaten, you know, off the trail, you're off the path, right? You're off the derech. So that takes some hand-holding, that takes some practical, real-life modeling, not just horei sicha, not just teaching and in a verb.
I was thinking that he's right, everything is good or bad by itself,
yeah.
But habit is what allows us to do things. So that we don't have to think about it, we automatically do it. Muscle memory.
Yeah, although that has its own its own pitfalls too. Right. But you're right. Hopefully, you're able to put yourself on that straight path long enough that that's where you stay, and then you have other challenges to get to the straight path for. First, people are very complicated. They have very different aspects of ourselves, and hopefully, we can get all of our aspects of ourselves on that straight path. Right. Oftentimes, even if we're habituated in one area, we have to make sure that we're off of the off of the side paths for the other areas too.
That's why the teaching technique in medicine, right, is watch one, do one, teach one.
That could be. That might be. There might be other benefits to that besides just what we're talking about here. But I remember when I was in, also when I was in Riverdale. So the senior rabbi always used to tell me, "I don't like it when you give good drushas." So what? I gave a good drusha. Why don't you like it? He says, "Because you're never going to learn. The way that you learn is when you give a bad drusha and figure out what you have to do better." So that's what he used this. There are different ways. There are different ways. But that's the whole point. Sometimes, in order to figure out where the middle is, you have to be willing to veer off to the sides so you can find the middle afterwards. But that's what he used to tell me. Interestingly, I don't know why this popped into my head, but I thought I'd share it with you. One of my favorite movies when I was a kid was a movie called The Sandlot. People are familiar with The Sandlot? Baseball movie? So there's this kid that moves to a new town, and he has a difficulty getting friends because he's a little nerdy. He likes what are those Marvel machines called?
Pachinko.
No, the ones where the Kinect sets and you make it go to different rails. It's named after a person. Whatever. The movie starts out, and that's all he does all day. He just plays these things.
Is that Rubik's?
No.
Goldberg?
Yeah,
machine?
Something like that. Ruby Goldberg, is that what
Rube
you said?
Goldberg machine.
Rube Goldberg. So maybe that's
what. Make things, fix them.
Yeah, and then it gets in like a perpetual. It's a perpetual. Perpetual motion, whatever. So at some point, like, they move to this new place. He's got to make friends. So his mother comes in and says, "You're a good boy. You're a smart boy," right? This is what he says in source number 9. "I don't want you sitting around here all summer fiddling with this stuff." She's talking about this machine. "Like you did last summer and the one before. I know you're smart and I'm proud of you. But I want you to get out into the fresh air and make some friends. Run around, scrape your knees, get dirty, climb trees, hop fences, get into trouble for crying out loud. Not too much, but some. You have my permission." Right? In order for him to figure out the straight path, it meant he had to go get dirty. It meant he had to go off the path. And it just reminded me of that. I don't know why. I don't know if it's completely relevant. It doesn't exactly line up. But it's an interesting thing. Sometimes we have to do things that are a little off the path in order to find the path. And for him to find the path of having friends, which to get on that straight path, he had to go a little off the path in order to get there. The Malbim finishes off for us tonight with this statement on Belechtecha lo yetzar tzadecha. When you're walking, so don't walk so slowly. Because you could trip over your own 2 feet if you're walking too slow. If lo yitzar means too short, if your steps aren't big enough. Vim taritz, but if you're going to run, lo tikashel. So then also try not to trip, because you can trip when you run too fast too. We talked about this a little bit on Shabbos morning, taking big steps. You weren't here. Too big of strides. You have to make sure you have a good, healthy stride. Not too big, not too small. Appreciate the path is what we talked about on Shabbos. So the Malbim says, "Belechtecha lo yetzar tzadecha." Lifamim holech adam derech haTorah b'halicha pshuta. A person sometimes goes in a very small path, very small steps in Torah. I'm going to keep what I can keep, and then that's it, you know. And he says, "Sheikamim mitzvah pshuta." He goes very simply, "Sheikamim mitzvah sekfiyadin v'achiv v'zeh belechtecha." You're just going to do exactly what you have to do. You're not going to do anything more, anything less. Just going to do exactly what you have to do. V'az tzarech, and when you do that, shelo yitzru tzada, v'rotz lomar, shelo yis'atzel b'mitzvos, v'yaseim k'mitzvosim, v'yech b'derech harakil. Don't just do them and not think about them and think that they're just something you have to do and then you're done with them. But they should be more special than just a regular walk, a stroll. V'lifamim holech adam derech haTorah b'mrutza, and some people, they'll go and they'll follow the Torah with every chumrah in the book. They'll be running to do everything they could ever find. You're going to add all these chumras. You're going to add to yourself, "I'm not going to do this, and I'm not even going to." My friend used to joke that he used to. There's a term in Hilchos Shabbos in Gemara. We don't do something atu this. We don't let you do this lest you come to do it in another situation. So he used to make jokes about not doing certain things during the week, lest he does it on Shabbos. So he used to say, "I don't carry outside, lest I carry outside on Shabbos." It was a joke, but he was making fun of the people that take out all these chumras. Right? So you could go crazy with all the chumras. There's a never-ending thing with chumras. Chumras are important. If you know yourself, you know where your pitfalls are, so those chumras are valuable. But some people go too fast, too quickly, and can actually hurt you. He gives an extreme example of the Tanaim who in Chagiga go into the Pardes to understand the deepest depths of Kabbalah, the Basar Makava, and the only person to come out alive was, or come out sane, was Rabbi Akiva. And different people were lost, different people went crazy. But if you go too crazy, so it's not going to be there. The Sefer HaChinuch says this also by Nadav and Avihu, that when they went into the Kodesh HaKadashim, they did so with a Derech Hasidus. They wanted to bring another Karban. They wanted to do more. But obviously they overstepped their bounds. You need to rein it in. You have to be able, as the Hasidic say, you know, Ratzo Vashov. You got to be able to push, but you also be able to shove, to hold back. There are times when you can push, times when you can pull back. And when it comes to the mitzvah observance, so you have to find the balance. You shouldn't go too leisurely that the Torah is not important enough to you, but you also shouldn't go too quickly that the Torah is extreme for you. And therefore, we have to make sure each person in their own way. Take the chumras that are good for you, and make sure you know that they're chumras, based on the Gemara we talked about before in different ways. But also, don't say like, oh, I'm not going to do any chumras. I don't need anything. I'm just going to keep exactly what the Torah says, exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says, and I can keep it at that pace. That's also not necessarily a good thing. So everyone has to find their stride, if you will. Beat to go to the beat of your own drum, but make sure that you're doing what you need to do in order to keep all the mitzvos properly with a correct perspective, so you don't go off the beaten path, but you also don't go too quickly on the straight path either. Okay, everyone should have a good night.
Quick question.